myself I'm full of weakness, and you use this life somehow. Cleanse and comfort, heal and teach me. Come, oh, come and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Spirit, come and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Spirit, come and fill me now. Just one life I have for living. In your service send me out. Source of love and faith and power, come, oh, come and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Spirit, come and fill me now. Fill me now.
You may be seated. We've been blessed the last couple of years to have two ladies that are going to come and just share some things from their hearts today. Their hearts for the Lord are just wonderful. I thank God for these two handmaidens of God, and they're very used to and have no problems with calling and telling and sharing with me what God places on their hearts, both of them. And I really believe that God put something together, and it just kind of comes out. I'm going to be brief, but Pentecost is not just a season when we think about, you know, like these experiences of Pentecost, that there was, you know, everybody came together and there was you know, speaking in tongues and all the things. That's all a part of it. But Pentecost is about a time of the power of the Lord, about God literally working in our lives and intervening in our lives and changing things. And it's about our testimony of that and of testifying about what God has done. So we talked a little bit, and we're going to try to do at least one more of these Sundays where we just share the pulpit time and let people share their testimonies, a couple of people at a time. So if you have a testimony of something God has been doing powerfully in your life, I want you to be sure to get in touch with me over the next week or so. We're going to spread these out through the rest of the season of Pentecost. But today, we're really excited because these two wonderful ladies are going to come and just share what God has been doing in their lives. And so first, Lori Hill is going to come and share. So let's just let our hearts be open to what God is saying today. Amen?
Good morning. When I first talked with Father Terry a couple of months ago, I shared with him that he would probably hear more from me in the time that we spent, which was about an hour and a half, than he'd heard me speak in the entire 2 years that I have been here. He never did say. He's very gracious. But what I shared with him is that during this 2.5 years, the reason that I haven't said a whole lot is because God has been doing so much in my life, and I've just been trying to absorb it all, take it all in, and hear what it is that he wants me to know. So before I share, there are two things you need to know about me. First of all is that my heart is connected directly to my tear ducts. So anything that touches my heart, good, bad, happy, sad, pours forth out of my tear ducts. So that's forewarning for today. The other thing is where I was prior to coming to this church. And it's not that you need to know the details, but you do need to have a feel for the place that I was at that time. And the best way that I can share that with you is through the words of a book that God introduced me to through a couple of friends. And the book is Parables of the Forest. And in it, the author describes her own experience. There was a volcano in my own life. All the rivers flowing from my life were clogged with mud and debris. Rich forests were stripped and flattened. Familiar landmarks disappeared. And I was left with emptiness and nothing. No future, no hope. Never again would I have a life of usefulness or a ministry or a purpose for living. I was cast upon the ash heap. Furthermore, it was irreversible and final. This was not simply an avalanche or a fire strike marring the beauty of the mountain, but the collapse of the mountain itself. Volcanic explosions, impossible devastations, where the foundations of life are destroyed and nothing is left, absolutely nothing. Death reigns, attended by howling wind and blowing ash. Nothing seemed recognizable. The hope of ever seeing life again was gone. And that's how it felt in my life when I walked in the door 2.5 years ago. But since then, God has been doing such an incredible work in my life that all I can say is, wow. The things he has done, the places of healing, physically, emotionally, spiritually, he has provided restoration. He has provided renewal in ways that I could not have even begun to imagine. And I shared some of the details of that with our women during the women's retreat this past September. And even in that women's retreat, that was such a God thing for him to just pour into my life in a way that I never thought would ever be possible again. And as I sat on the mountaintop, I thought, oh, I have finally gotten to this place where I can just breathe. Well, life continues to happen. And as the commercial says, life comes at you fast. And in October, it did just that. I received a letter from the Internal Revenue Service that said, we have been reviewing your 2006 taxes. 2006 was during this volcanic time in my life. And it said, we have unreported income. And as a result, our calculations indicate you owe the federal government $11,336. And I laughed. I just simply laughed. Because at that moment, as many things as God had walked me through, there was nothing in me that I knew could even begin to have a place to fix this. And in that moment, I said, God, you've walked me through a lot of things, and I've shared with you the ways that you need to do this in my life, and he's been gracious to say, yeah, okay, fine, I'll listen to you and move on. But this time I said, God, I'm not asking you to fix this. I'm not asking you to give me $11,336. I'm not asking you to do anything except walk with me, be with me, go with me through this, and I trust you no matter what it is that you're going to do. I trust you are going to do this in my life. And so for a couple of weeks, it was just God and me, just literally walking, just totally spending time, and I listened. And he was gracious. One of the things, though, I've learned about being in a charismatic church is that when the Spirit is moving through this congregation, people come to know that there are things going on in your life. They may not know specifics, but they will come to you and say, I've had a sense on my heart. And God began to say, yes, you may share this prayer request. Because my normal modus operandi would have been to pick up the phone and called every one of my faithful prayer warrior friends and said, please pray for me, and then commiserate. And God had not done that this time. But he said, yes, you may share. And they were as incredulous as I was. And they said, what do we pray? And I said, the sense that I have that God has laid on my heart is that we're to pray that I would just stay with God. that I would just walk with him, that I would keep my eyes on him, and I would not move forward or backward or side to side without knowing that he was the one leading and directing. And I said, the other thing he has put on my heart to pray is that I would end up with a compassionate IRS agent. Now, when that word came to me, I laughed. The people I was with laughed. And God said, these are my children, and I can work in all situations. So pray for that compassionate IRS agent. By this time, it was Thanksgiving, and our family had a wonderful Thanksgiving celebration. And the time was drawing near where I had to respond, and I called the IRS. And the gentleman that answered the phone very compassionately listened to my story. And when I shared with him, I don't know what to do. This was at a time, this was going on. I've moved records. I don't have any record of this. I can't confirm, I can't deny. He said, what we need you to do is complete the form and send it in. Okay, I can do that. And in the process, God had me write a cover letter. And I did put it in the mail, and we're in Advent. And I'm looking at this wonderful, precious time of giving going, okay, God, I've got this $11,336 thing I've got, and I've got not even anywhere close to that amount of money over here. And this is a time of giving. What do you want me to do? And about this time, Father Terry is sharing with us and admonishing us to give. To give wherever God tells us to give. And so there are very specific places that I give for those in need at Christmas, and we did. And he allowed me to give to my family and then to give and bring whatever I had here to the church. I don't carry cash with me. And all of a sudden, there was cash in my wallet. And God was saying, just pour out what is in your wallet and bring to me every week. And I did. Now, the special blessing, which is also a time of giving, is we were also doing our Advent outreach. And Dawson partnered with us. And the special thing that many of you may not know is that my oldest son is on staff at Dawson. So the very special time of giving that we were doing was a very special family thing, too. So we celebrated all through Advent. Got to the end, and I received a letter from the IRS. And every time, took a deep breath and said, okay, God, I'm just walking with you. Prepare me what you need me to do. And this letter said, we have received your first letter, and we will give you an indication in 30 days. Well, during this same time, Bishop Jones had come and was leading us a time of repentance, which was such a precious, precious thing, and God continued to work in my heart. 30 days came and went, 60 days came and went, 90 days came and went, and people are asking me, what do we pray? Just keep praying that I'm faithful, that I can walk through what God has me to walk through. Now, none of this time have I asked him, take this away, give me the money, just let me walk with you. And we're at the end of March, and I'm filing this year, or 2008 taxes. I thought, okay, if nothing else, this is going to trigger somebody somewhere, and I'm going to get a response. No, not until Thursday before Holy Week. And I have my mail that comes to a post office box. So I literally walk into the post office and had this letter from the IRS. Got back to my car, and as I'm sitting in the car, just went, God, you're with me. I trust you. Whatever this says, I know you will be faithful. This is my letter. When I open the letter at the top that you cannot see, it says closing statement. And I read through it and I kept thinking, is this really saying what I think it is telling me? It's not real direct, but I'm not sure I understand. And there's a phone number, and I quickly called that phone number and said, I have received this. Can you tell me what this means? And the woman assured me that what I was reading was correct. And the only way that I can tell you what this means is I had a debt I could not pay, and God wiped it away. I owed not a penny, and it was closed forever, never ever to be opened again. Hallelujah. This is not the end of the story. There's more. as I am at this point in my spirit, dancing and leaping and praising God about what he's done, and this time picking up the phone, calling everyone, going, you're not going to believe this, this is what he's done, and I am spreading the news all over creation. And the word that kept coming to me through this was the word monumental. I went, yeah, God, this is monumental. And he said, I really want you to think about the word monument. Okay. He said, there needs to be a monument to commemorate so you remember this. Okay, God, I've read enough of the Old Testament to know that there are monuments that you build, but I'm not a monument builder. You're going to have to show me what this looks like. And he did, after a couple of days. Woke up Saturday morning, and in my quiet time, he reminded me of something that I had done a couple of weeks earlier. Didn't seem very relevant at the time, but 2 weeks earlier, I had been channel surfing through my TV. And you have to know that that is so very uncharacteristic of me, because for 20 plus years, I have been surrounded by men in my life. And channel surfing is a detestable thing that I don't do. So for me to be doing this is truly uncharacteristic. And then I never have stopped at any of QVC or HSN, don't know where they are on TV, just don't do this. There was something that grabbed my attention. I went, oh, well, that's really kind of nice. And it was affordable, but there were a couple of choices, and the one that really had touched my heart was not available. And I went, okay, fine, no biggie, moved on. And that Saturday morning, God said, go to the computer and look up their website. And the exact item that I had seen 2 weeks earlier was not only available as I had seen it, but was on sale. I went, okay, I'll order this. Came in Tuesday. Now, this is Holy Week we're talking about, where God does just extraordinary things. Tuesday it came in, and I was not at home, but I called UPS, and they said, yes, you can come meet the truck. Got up to UPS, and the truck had been delayed. And I am sitting there waiting, and I'm the first one there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And I waited 4 hours. And I kept going, God, am I really supposed to wait? This really, I can go home. No, you need to wait for this. People had come and gone. You know, there's something in Scripture that talks about the first shall be last shall be first. It's a whole other lesson for another day. But there were those kinds of lessons God kept sharing with me. And they finally handed it to me, and I got out to my car. Now it's 7:15. And I opened up this package. I went, God, this is so special. Thank you. Well, that's not the end of the story. I turn on the car, and over the radio come these words. I want to live with a fearless heart, courage that's coming from trusting God. It's constantly guiding me, though the road may seem dark. I want to live with a fearless heart. There are worries chasing everyone that's evident in times like these, but I have found the confidence that comes from the time I spend on my knees. There's a truth I'm holding on to as these days unfold. Greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. I want to live with a fearless heart, courage that's coming from trusting God. It's constantly guiding me, though the road may seem dark. I want to live with a fearless heart. He's my strength. He's my shelter. He is with me all the way. He's my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? I want to live with a fearless heart, courage that's coming from trusting God. It's constantly guiding me, though the road may seem dark. I want to live with a fearless heart. Now, it took the first line for me to burst into tears. And I cried through the whole rest of the song. Because what you cannot see, but what I was holding in my hand, is a heart-shaped blue lapis stone ring. And God said, this is your constant reminder. As you wear it, you will remember I have given you a fearless heart. The stone itself is very significant to me personally. The color blue is significant to me. The group that sings this song has personal significance. God has opened up his storehouse and abundantly said, this is it. That's not the end of the story. We get to Good Friday. At a time when everyone else is on their knees reflecting, I'm still jumping and leaping and praising God. Oh, I can't contain it. And God said, there's something else you need to know. You need to remember. When you first came here, and it was shortly after I started attending, Father Rob and his family had come here and were speaking words of prophecy and ministering to us. And he spoke words over me that I had journaled about. And God said, go back and find that journal. Okay. These are the words I recorded in my journal. Today, Father Rob said that God is working like a dentist drilling in a cavity. He's the one doing the work. There is no enemy attack. This is God's deep work to dig out the deeper stuff and that the years would not be wasted. He told me that God is happy with where I am. There are areas of fear that need to be eradicated. Your heart is being healed and filled with His love. That's what God has been doing for 2.5 years since I walked in the doors of this church. He hasn't stopped there. He has incredulously been pouring out into my life, and there are so many more stories I could share, but they're stories for another day.
I could just say amen and we go home, right? I just want to say I'm really excited to stand up here because in this season of Pentecost, even before Pentecost started, the Lord had me reading and rereading about Pentecost. And, you know, just this amazing, dramatic thing that happened on that day. I don't know if y'all have read that recently, but in there it says that now that they heard them each speaking in their own language to which they were born. And then it has this verse where it lists all the different countries. And by the time you get to the end of that verse, you kind of checked out. You know, just, okay, I get the point. But at the end, there's this little nugget of truth that just ignited in me this time. And it said, we hear them in our own tongue speaking the mighty deeds of God. It wasn't just the power. But what did they hear? They heard of the mighty deeds of God. And God birthed in me this excitement and this energy saying, we need to be testifying to the mighty deeds of God that He enabled us. He gave us that power. If you remember, they were given a call to go into all the world, but He said, wait until you get the power from on high. And they received the power that day in order to go around the world. And then I was thinking, well, you know, they could have testified. They knew what they knew of Jesus before they received that empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They could have testified in their language, in one language, and reached a small group of people. But when God came that day and empowered them, He literally empowered them to reach around the known world in every language that was in there. And that the prophetic of that is what He's empowered us to do, and that's what He's going to do through testifying to the mighty deeds of God. So that's just the preface of why I'm really excited to be up here. And when Father Terry asked me, my flesh went, you want me to do what? And then I thought, okay, God, you've been birthing this excitement in me. I want everyone else to testify, just not me. That wasn't gonna fly. That just wasn't gonna work. How could I say no? So I stand up here excited to do so. I came not long after Lori did, about 2 years, to this church, and one of the things that the Lord did for me the afternoon after I walked out of here on my first visit was He gave me a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I'm not a singer, but all afternoon I had different hymns going through my head, just singing and had the peace of the Lord, and was noteworthy, was very unusual. And He has continued to give me a peace. So when I was coming into the Lord's house, He would give me this desire to give to Him. And I've always been a giver and to give in the offering, but it was a real, Lord, thank you that I get to come into this place. Thank you that I get to give back to you. Thank you for everything. So I don't get paid every week, but I would ask Him for something to give to express that love for what He's done for me. and he would be faithful to do it. But the first week I came and I had nothing to give. I said, Lord, okay, I'll just come give you praises with my thankful heart. I bring that. That very first Sunday, Linda Chandler asked me if I would take up the elements. I said, thank you, Lord. What a precious gift that you've given. Thank you that I waited and asked you. But even more than that, he had been birthing a desire in my heart. Every time I would put my offering in the offering plate, I didn't want to put it in the offering plate. I wanted to bring it to the altar. I wanted to bring it to him myself. So it was a double blessing that I got to bring a gift to the altar. And then Father Terry goes to Africa. And he comes back and he's messing with the offering. He may have messed with some of y'all. But I was so excited because now I got to bring my offering to the altar before the Lord. And not only that, the very first time on Sunday morning that I actually come to approach the altar is no longer to receive from the Lord, but it's to give to the Lord. And I was so excited to be able to do that, no matter how much it was or what it was. And sometimes it's just to come and offer myself. I have nothing in my hand. But I had kind of waned at asking the Lord every week to give me something, and I renewed that prayer. And about 2 months ago, I was asking the Lord, and I was leaving the house, and I still didn't have anything that I could bring for the offering. And something red in my side yard caught, you know, just saw this red flash out of the corner of my eye. And I looked over, and on a bush that I thought had died in the drought, this rose bush, there was a red rose in full bloom. And I got so excited, and I ran in the house and got my scissors and cut it, and said, I'm taking this to my Jesus. And it happened to be one of those really fragrant roses, and I had it in the pew, and every once in a while I could smell the fragrance of that waft up. So before I took it to put it in the offering plate, I had to take one last smell, and took it, and I laid it in the offering plate, much to probably the usher's grin, not knowing what to do with these things. It's not the only strange thing I put in the offering plate. But I put it in the offering plate, and as soon as I did, my hand felt like it was shaking. I looked to see if it was visibly shaking, and it was not. But it felt like it was shaking. I went back to my pew, and I was just standing there, just talking with the Lord. What are you, you know, Lord, what are you doing? Thank you for your presence and all of this. And I pictured, you know, they talk about Jesus as the Rose of Sharon, but I pictured this beautiful, fragrant rose that was trampled on the ground. People were walking and just trampling it, and the fragrance was just rising up, and no one noticed. No one cared. And I said, Lord, how could you give him up? And he said to me, the same way you gave up that rose because you love me, I gave him up because I love you. And of course, by that time, I'm crying and tears are dropping on the floor. And it was just that precious, him speaking volumes that will take me years to unpack, I'm sure, in that precious moment of interaction with him, of giving. But I stand before you to tell you, he is faithful. He gives us things to give because we need to give. And he will use every part of the liturgy to minister to us. He will meet us here. And, you know, like our children come to us because they don't make a salary. They come and say, Mama, I need something for the offering plate. We can come to him and say, give me something to give because I need to, Father. I need a way to tangibly express my love back to you in that offering, to come up and to bring that to you and to rejoice in you. And as Father Terry has so reminded us, it's a joyful thing to come in the presence of the Lord to give. And let me just read this scripture in Deuteronomy. It's talking about three times a year the male shall appear before the Lord in Israel. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you. And God has blessed me mightily, and I seek for a way to express that every week. And he meets me that in a just extraordinary way. So just wanted to share that with you.
I just looked at Father Don and I said, you know, what they said is better than any sermon you've ever preached. He said, yeah, you too. It is the power of God unto salvation that we hear of the mighty deeds of God in our lives. And I know there are many others of you that have called me and talked to me about just extraordinary things that God has done. And I want to encourage you to continue. We have seen blessings. The Lord, it was just so clear to me, and when I got back from Africa, that, you know, to really push this thing about giving. And my rector's council will tell you, I hate it. I don't like asking anybody to do anything as far as giving. But I know that what God was saying. And God was saying that if we'll give, that if we'll be a giving church, and it doesn't matter, the amounts don't matter, that God would show his power to us. And he's done that. And like I shared a few weeks ago, that, you know, we got a $5,000 check from somebody that left it in their will, and we still can't find out who it was, the person. I did make sure that the check cleared the bank, and it did. But we can't find out who it was, where it came from. And it was just such a blessing for us. We're going to be able, by the change and the money and the dollars that everybody gives on a Sunday morning. Father Don is not going back to Africa until next summer, right, Don? But there were some things going on right now, and I said, you know, let's just see what's in the bank, and if you've got a project or something there that we can give that money to, we'll give it. And we got $1,700, and that Don is going to be sharing with, I think, with Bishop Moses, some a great need that's going on over there in Africa. So, you know, God, these things, God is blessing, man. God is doing some things, and I just ask you just to be like these ladies and just walk with the Lord. And what Lori was sharing sounded so much like Olivia Jones, you know, going through the things she's been going through. Is just, you know, she didn't say, God, you know, you've got to heal me. I want to be healed. I need this cancer taken away. She just said, Lord, I just want to walk through this, and I want to walk with it through it with you. And I want you to walk through, and I want to know you're here, and I want to see the mighty deeds that you do, whether it's in me or within others. And, you know, God has shown that. So, you know, I think that's the word of the Lord to us, ladies. And I thank God for you two. I really do. And for others in this parish. I'm going to miss everybody. I'm going to leave tomorrow for a couple of weeks. And I will miss you all terribly. But we'll do whatever we can to stay in touch as far as, you know, electronically today. You can kind of do that. But I just want to encourage you all to just, that's really the deal, is just say, Lord, I need your presence. That's all that matters, is your presence. I just need you. And I'll be obedient to you, and I want to hear your voice, and I want to be obedient. And I believe if we'll walk like that, we'll see God move in so many ways. So let's all now stand together and say the creed and what we believe. The Nicene Creed.